Hi, girls. Welcome to Thursday. Darla Shine here, happy housewife. And this is going to be a very exciting 20 minutes for you because I am pissed off. I'm like a maniac out of control right now. And so what am I going to do? I have to bitch and vent to someone. So I invited Martha in California to come on the podcast. Martha, are you ready for me to attack?
I'm ready, girl. Go for it. I'm right there with you.
I am like a maniac because I don't know how many of you have read my post on my son being bullied, but Connor, who is 9 years old, who's in the fourth grade, is being bullied in school, and now it's happened on the school bus yesterday. Connor got off the school bus. He said that this one kid called him a retard, told him he was gay, and got all the other fifth graders, that's a year older than him, to start saying this. The problem, Martha, is this boy lives next door to me.
Ugh.
This is a nightmare, and we socialize with their parents. This kid comes and calls for my son every day after school, but when they're in school, he has to act like a hotshot and bully my son.
Yeah, of course.
So this morning, let me tell you what happened. So this morning, before school starts, I call the father, and I tell him what's going on. I was very diplomatic, and I said, you know, Connor's telling me this is happening. He's coming home very upset, and so he's like, okay, I'll talk to him. So then at the bus stop, the father and the son walk out to the bus stop, and then the son just stands at the end of the driveway, and the father starts talking to the other adults. He doesn't even make his son apologize to my son.
Didn't I tell you that? I told you, don't be surprised if he goes on his son's side.
So I said, you know, Michael, I said, what's going on with you guys? Connor said that you were bullying him. You cannot call him names on the school bus, so you're going to end up in detention. And Michael goes, well, there is no detention. So I said, well, how are you going to feel next year when the seventh graders are bullying you? And then
good.
His father walks over and is like, well, you know, you guys should shake hands and just forget about this whole thing. So anyway, make a long story short, the boys, his son didn't want to shake hands, and my son didn't want to shake hands. The mm-hmm. bottom line is the father didn't apologize, and the kid never apologized to my son. I am pissed.
I would be told, Darla, I would have just went off and wailed on the father, I swear. I would have kicked his ass right there.
What would you have said?
First of all, that's totally unacceptable. I know you don't want to, you know, be in the confrontational type in front of your kids, but that is just wrong. I would have told the dad in front of the son, that's not acceptable. I'm going to call the school, and this is going to stop, because it's not right. And this is where it starts. This kid being mean to Connor, this is where it starts. And the thing is when he comes home, he's probably okay. Is he friends with Connor, but he's only when he's at school he acts like this?
Right, and this is what's upsetting to me, because, and I said this in front of the father, I said, you know, Connor's very confused. He thinks they're friends. Michael comes and calls for him.
Right.
And then they go on the school bus and they're at school and they bully him.
Right.
And so the father says, well, you know, I told Michael, he said this in front of his son, that, you know, you cannot take your, if you're fighting with Connor, you cannot take it to school, you cannot get other kids saying things, you can't do this. And then the son said, I didn't say anything. And Connor goes, yes, you did. You called me gay. You called me a retard. He's like, no, I didn't. And so the father said, well, you know, Michael says it was actually Josh, this other boy in the school bus. So anyway, I tried to be diplomatic. I just went
right
along with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when I
right
came in, I wrote the principal a letter.
Uh-huh.
And I said, listen, my son is being taunted on the school bus. I want you to get on the school bus today, because you know everyone fears the principal. And tell the children that bullying will not be tolerated on any level at the school.
That's right.
And I'm picking up Connor as a walker today. Now, my husband is pissed.
Yeah.
And rightly, he should be. Now, I was avoiding. All the girls aren't there on the website are like, did you tell Bill? What's your husband going to do?
Right.
I don't know about your husband. My husband's like a maniac.
You know, I my husband would have been the same thing, but I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have wanted him to get involved, because I would have wanted to try to take care of it myself.
Right.
And because I am home, and it's like he doesn't need that madness, you know, but he would react the same way.
So I'm eating Wolfgang Puck's lentil soup now, so if you hear me chewing.
Anyway, chewing in my ear. Go ahead.
So I'm at this dead end here, because so Bill gets an email from the father today saying, oh, we should get together with the boys and work it out. Now, I see his point. The boys should get together and work it out. They should become
mm-hmm.
friends again.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can't have my son walking on eggshells with this kid that if he gets in a bad mood, he's going to act like this.
Mm-mm. No. And
I'm offended that the child never said, I'm sorry, and the father didn't make him say he's sorry. So what should I do?
Right. I would be offended too. Okay, does the mother know about this by any chance?
I'm sure she knows about it from the father, but the mother works full time. She's not home. The father's really the one who does the child rearing during the day.
No,
he's like the housewife.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, he works from home.
So he's a wuss. No, I'm teasing.
No, he's not a wuss. He's very strict, and I think that this is an issue. I mean, I like this whole family, but yeah. He's strict, and I think that his son doesn't is like. He's strict, and his son walks the perfect line in the house. When in the backyard, I've heard his son say the F word. I've heard him say many bad things and do many bad things. And I don't want to be a baby and start telling him his son's doing bad things. Yeah. All boys, you know what? Boys are going to be boys. And a lot of things I try to overlook, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if they get into a fight or whatever. But I can't have it happening on the school bus.
No, especially when this kid's involving other children to start to laugh at Connor and pick on him too and getting them involved, you know, and that's that, you know, kind of group mob mentality.
It's just so sad. The thing that I don't get is this. Why does this happen, Martha? Your husband's a school teacher. What is going on? Is it that the parents aren't teaching their kids about compassion?
It's totally, I believe, and so does Rick, it's totally the parents. I mean, because, you know, we don't teach our kids to, you know, fight. But, you know, since the incident that Cole had, you know, he's had two different times. And when I finally just told him, I said, look, I told both of the boys, I said, you cannot just stand there and let somebody dump on you, you know, especially if they're hitting. And sure enough, you know, when I told him that, then he went and told the kid. My mom said, if you hit me, I can hit you back.
Yeah, but you know what? The problem with my son is, if Connor was somewhere else and some kid was annoying him, mm-hmm. Connor would just probably go berserk.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Connor thinks this kid is his friend. So Connor's in a state of confusion.
Yeah.
Connor is bigger than this boy. This boy is 2 years older, but Connor could beat the crap out of him. He's way bigger. But I've told my son, don't get into a fight. Don't hit back. Use your mouth. Use your tongue. I believe your tongue is far more wicked than your fists. You know, you could take anyone down. I could take anyone down to their knees with my mouth.
Yeah.
But
see, when it comes to little boys, a lot of times that's what needs to happen is he needs to full on just, because he's going to get upset and he's just going to build up and, you know, because if he keeps on doing it, and then Connor's going to get upset and just full on wail on him one of these days, you know.
Well, you know, so that's what has to happen. I told Connor, I said, listen, if it gets really bad, like this boy kicked Connor one day and he elbowed Connor one day. I said, turn around and belt him. Connor says, I'll go to the principal. You know, my son doesn't want to get in trouble at school.
I know. But you think, because see, like, when the minute I gave my boys permission to say, because we were the same way. We're like, okay, you know, you talk, you get the adults involved, you know, especially if they're at school. You get the, go tell your teacher, go tell. And then what I hate, though, is when they go and do that, you know, the teacher's like, okay, well, no, we don't want to tattle, you know, and try to work it out. I'm like, okay. You know, my kid's being picked on.
I am so sick of the public school system. I am so disgusted with it. First of all, what is with these teachers? Once you get your tenure, is that it? You're a teacher for life? You could do whatever the hell you want?
Unless you slap a child or beat a child, you're not going to get
a lot of these teachers totally suck. And they just have their tenure. Over here on Long Island, Connor's teacher, for example, she's making a lot of money. They're making $80,000, $100,000, these teachers with tenure.
Right.
And she has been in school two times so far this school year. Twice. Why is she getting a full-time salary while she's absent so much, taking care of her sick mother?
Well, see, that's the thing I don't understand. Because I know, like, with Rick, if he was to miss, they would use up his – he has, like, 120 sick days, okay, which when he retires, they pay him on that. But if he – you know, if something was happening to me and he had to take care of me, they would use up that, you know,
first.
Well,
you know what? You have this Federal Family Leave Act, which I support. I want people to use the Family Leave Act.
Yeah.
And she should be home using the Family Leave Act. The public school system should not have allowed her to start a class, to pull her out, to give her a substitute. Someone else should have started the year.
Because I think your son's class is suffering because they need to have the same teacher day in and day out. Not,
you know what? And
you know,
I hate to sound so high and mighty, but my son, Connor's brilliant. He's a gifted child. He is sensitive. And unlike my daughter, who's on the opposite end. Okay, I have two kids in two realms. Hannah, all she wants to do is put on her high heels, put on her lipstick. Okay, I can't get her to read a book, nothing. All right, Connor is brilliant. He scored a perfect score on the state test. And now
that is That is so awesome, Darla. That's great.
It's great. And good thing Hannah's beautiful. I'm just curious how to marry a rich guy. And I say it. So to Sandy, my enemy out there, feminazi Sandy, yeah, it's okay. My daughter's blonde hair, blue eyes, and that's what I'm telling her. Grab a rich, good-looking guy. That's it.
That's it. That's all she needs.
That's it. She's six, and she's decided that she's a fashion girl. Your phone, is that your cell phone?
No, it's my regular phone. Hold on 1 second. Keep talking.
So I know I'm on two different spectrums here. I have my daughter who needs help in school, and then my son who's brilliant. And I think that because Connor is so smart and sensitive and he's this special child, that maybe he just – I got to pull him out of the public school system and put him into a private school somewhere that where he can flourish and really, quite frankly, be with other nerds like him because he's a nerd. And I think that not in a bad sense. I mean, he's a nerd in a good sense, my son. He wants to be scholastic. He wants to talk about science. You know, and he's not acting like a moron like the rest of the boys. So maybe
right.
This is why they notice it, because he's sitting on, you know, when he's on the school bus, he's sitting there doing his Game Boy. He'd rather be like by himself doing his own thing instead of being part of, you know, the crazy group.
But he doesn't look like a nerd. I've seen the pictures of Connor. He's cute.
No, he's cute. He doesn't look like a nerd because
no.
I dress him the right way.
That's right.
It's up to the mother. If your child's a nerd, the mother should go to jail.
Really.
There's a little girl in Hannah's grade. The poor thing, I saw her at school today. She's walking around with like flood pants. They're like 4 inches too high.
That's the mom's fault.
That's the mom's fault. And moms, if you have a first grader, do not buy them dresses from Sears. Have you seen those dresses? They are so hokey. I wouldn't even put that on an Amish girl. Are you kidding me? Really, it's up to the parents. You can make your kids. My kids have the, you know, I make sure they look good with their clothes. They have the right haircut.
Mm-hmm.
That image means everything. It's so true. You send your kid looking like a dork to school, they're going to be a dork. So instead, Connor, I mean, my son goes skiing. He plays basketball. Is he the smartest kid in his grade? Sure. I think he's the smartest kid in the whole school. But on the other hand, I'm not raising him to be a nerd.
Right.
And, you know, he takes Taekwondo, so he can defend himself. And listen, he can defend himself.
Right.
Connor, you know, he could kick this kid's butt in.
Right.
But then we live next door. I really would like it to be a peaceful – I want this to be a wonderful, peaceful atmosphere. I want peace
on
earth. I want everyone to get along. I don't like all this tension. What the hell is going on in this friggin' world? Everything is out of control.
I know, that's
on every level. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. All the mothers are walking around looking like sluts. Looking at the mothers. Everyone has a tattoo across their chest.
Oh,
their
my gosh. Don't even.
Hanging out.
Yes. Don't even get me started on tattoos. I'm
short
thinking,
shorts.
Yeah,
the teenage girls have. Where the frig are they getting these boobs?
Oh, my gosh. I know. And, you know, but it's, again, it's the parents. It's the, our generation is allowing their children to basically wear what they want, do what they want, and say what they want. And I mean, there's so many kids that are so disrespectful.
Let's see if this is the principal. Let's see if this is the principal.
Okay, go ahead. Go.
Hello? Yeah? Oh, hi. Can I call you right back? I'm in the middle of doing something. I got to call you right back. Bye. It was one of my brownie leader's mothers. Now, this is another thing, brownies. Every week I have another woman who wants to get her kid in on my brownie troop.
Okay, you must have a cool brownie troop, girl.
Enough. I already have 14 girls. I don't want to take any more girls.
Dang. And now, are you the leader? Are you the leader? Or in charge of it?
I'm one of three leaders. We have three leaders. This girl Cindy, this girl Jean, and myself. And last night we had to go to brownie troop meeting for the leaders, where you learn like what you're supposed to do in brownies all year.
Right.
I wanted to blow my brains out. First of all, there needs to be a makeover for Girl Scout moms. It is scary that these women show up the way they show up. No makeup.
Are they working moms?
They're in sweatshirts.
Are they working or are they stay-at-home moms, most of them?
I don't know what the hell they are. I don't know. I don't care. Put on some lipsticks, for God's sakes. Put on some lipstick.
Go ahead.
This woman who was giving the training session, her name is Jean. She must have been in her 50s. I don't know. She didn't have a stitch of makeup on. No lipstick. You know how upset I get when women don't wear lipstick.
Yes, I can't
handle it. And as she's giving the training session, her lips were so dried out that I was getting upset. I wanted to run over and put chapstick on her. It was painful for me to watch. And then as she's talking and she's up there, okay, she is, you know, I'm watching her and I'm noticing that her nails, like she's got like three. Oh. Well, she has fake nails and like three are missing.
Oh, no.
If you can't keep up with your fake nails, don't get them.
Don't get them. That's right.
You cannot walk around with three peeled off fake nails.
All right. So no makeup.
So I've decided that my next mission, I have to take over the Girl Scouts of the world because they need a makeover. They're too hokey looking. They need to snap it up a bit.
They do. And hello, the little girls are looking up to these women. And what are they looking up to? Boring, plain women?
Well, listen, no. I'm not saying that they need to come to the troop meeting wearing high heels and a miniskirt.
No, but, you know, come on. You got to fix your hair. Put some lip gloss on.
And where does it stop? I was thinking last night, I'm like, where did it stop? Like, were these girls, like, in their 20s and they just gave up? Wow. Was it in their 30s and they just gave up? Like, when was the time when they said, I don't care what I look like anymore. I'm just going to wear my husband's sweatshirt and white sneakers with socks.
Oh, yeah, you and your sneakers.
I cannot, do not show up in front of me with white sneakers and socks.
Okay, but can they be like cute little white kids?
Yeah, they have to be cute sneakers. Do you see the selection of sneakers that is out now? They have the cutest sneakers in all different colors.
Yes, they do. That's
true.
They have
beautiful sneakers. What are you going to wear? And, you know, this whole look with what's with the big sweatshirt? I don't get it.
Well, because it's probably just the easiest thing to grab and to throw on. I mean, before I read your book, I have to say I was like a total sweatshirt and not even jeans, just sweatpants in the morning. And usually when it gets cold. I know, I was scary. I know.
And so, but don't you feel better now that you've transformed yourself? And it's so easy. You just put on a jeans and a pair and a t-shirt.
Yeah, and you know what? It does. And, you know, now I actually have gone out and bought, you know, like cute little, you know, sweater or, you know, something that's cute.
Isn't that nice? And plus you lost some weight, right?
Yes!
You see, it's a big cycle. What happens is when you start fixing yourself up in the morning and you put on a little lipstick, you comb your hair, you put on a clean shirt.
Who'd have thought?
And, you know, you put on something that's tight and form-fitting. You start to feel better. And then what happens is you take it to the next level. You're like, well, maybe I need to exercise and lose some weight because I want to look even better. Then once you start losing weight, you're like, oh, I want to buy new clothes. And then once you start feeling good and moving around, you feel sexier, you start having more sex. Has that happened yet, Martha? Are you not talking? All of a sudden you're shy.
Okay, maybe I haven't hit that one yet.
All right, well, that's coming next. That could be
okay,
next. And you know what?
Promise?
You have to psych yourself into it. Really,
I know, but why?
You have to fake it mentally until you actually get in the bed, because this is what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Go for it.
I think that we get into these cycles where, you know, you're living your life, your husband's living his life, you're passing each other in the kitchen, but you're not really touching. And then after a few weeks of that, it's hard to get back. It's hard to get back in the sack. It's hard to – when I was fighting with Bill last week, everyone knows because I talked about it for days. And I said, okay, I've got to snap out of this. Uh-huh. Now, I got to tell the story. I haven't even told the story. So Saturday in the morning, as he's leaving to take the kids to their sports, and I'm in the kitchen, as he's walking, he goes, you better be ready later because, you know, I want to have sex, like joking around. And I'm thinking, is that his foreplay? That's his foreplay. And then he goes, I want to pop you one. Hold on. Hello? Yeah. I'm on the radio. I got to call you back. That was my father. So anyway.
Oh, okay, wait. You should hear the way you changed your voice.
I did.
You're like, hello. And then, yeah.
Because I have to cut my father short. My father goes into these tangents. All he does all day is watch C-SPAN. All day he sits on the couch. He's retired, and he watches C-SPAN.
Oh, poor
so
dad.
He calls me up with these updates about what's going on in the government. And like he'll give me this long, drawn-out story. And I will be trapped on the phone for 40 minutes.
Okay, in that case, it's okay.
So I had to cut him off. But anyway, so Bill's like, I'm going to pop you one. What the hell is that?
That is classic. I love it.
So he leaves, and then he comes home later, and we eat dinner, we're hanging out, whatever. And then we're on the couch with the kids, we're watching a movie.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And so then he brings the kids up, puts them to bed, and comes and sits on the couch. And after like 20 minutes, he's like, well, I don't understand. What are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I thought we were going to fool around. Said, was your presence in the room enough to make me jump on your bones?
Oh my gosh.
I said, why don't you like put your hand on my thigh or something? Women, we want to be attacked. It's
you
true.
Know, that is so true. Because I know for Rick and I, the minute he would come in the room and just, you know, hug me or do something, it's like, that's it.
We
you
just
know?
Want any type of physical attention.
Exactly.
He could put his pinky on your foot, and that would make you hot. So my husband, I said to him, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, you know, I told you this morning I wanted sex, and I just took a shower. So that's the big clue. He took the shower.
Yes.
He scrubbed it all up. So I said, well, you know, aren't you going to, like, say anything nice, turn on the romance? He's like, why can't we just have sex? Why do I have to say anything nice? This is what he says to me.
Oh,
why can't
God.
We just have sex?
Has he not learned with being with you?
I said, who are you? Who are you? I don't even know that this is my husband. He must have a girlfriend or something that just jumps on him with no questions asked.
I guess so. Like, well, there's some girls out there like that.
It could be. But anyway, so we ended up not doing anything that night. We ended up not talking. It escalated into me being annoyed at him and him being annoyed at me. But really, when looking back, we were both annoyed at each other over miscommunication. He wanted to be with me. I wanted to be with him. I really did. I wanted to. But the fact that he wasn't really, you know what? Women, the truth is, like Martha said, we want to be attacked.
Yeah, yeah.
We love that. You know, and it may be a little sick and twisted. But, you know, even one of my girlfriends said recently, she's like, you know, my husband, she's like, I always have to make the first move on my husband. And you read that in the website, all the women are making the first moves on their husband.
But why? Why is it, you know, before
understand.
We get married, yeah, before we get married, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to make the move and, you know, we're smacking them down sometimes.
Yeah, it's the sexual appetite that goes up with women. And it's not even that. I mean, my husband would go, he would do it every day, 24 hours a day, you know, if I said okay. But the lines of communication are off. And what I said to him is, you know, you saying you want to have sex is not enough for me. It's just not enough.
Right. You know, I have to agree, yes.
If he would have walked over, usually, like, Bill usually puts the moves on me. Like, I'll be at the kitchen sink, he'll walk up behind me, he'll start, like, rubbing me and, like, kissing my neck and stuff like that. That's what I want.
Oh, yes.
That gets me going.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's
That's so easy
for men to just do that. Just rub your wife. I don't even know who I'm talking to. There's no men listening to the show. But if they would just, like, rub their wife's back or say something nice, you know, give them a compliment.
I know. Just throw us a bone, basically.
Or a boner.
Mainly that.
Mainly that. But anyway, so I have to go. Oh, my God. I have to get out of here. I have to go pick up the kids from school.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Because I'm not letting Connor take the bus. Martha,
that's right.
This was fun.
All right,
yes. I will talk
to
you tomorrow. Bye.
Okay, bye.